Before I get in the word, I gotta say you've been lied to. And I feel responsible to tell you, expose this lie. You were told you're coming to Down East Maine to shoot some guns and to get in the word. And there's even a sign out by the road, Calvary Chapel, Down East. Just for the record, this isn't Down East Maine. This is Trenton. I just want to make that clear. This is Trenton, Maine. Down East Maine is a long ways from here. Yeah. Yeah. Cheap. But I just want to make sure I cleared that up. The theme, the thing that the Lord has been laying on the hearts of the brothers here is abiding. I understand Dave Homechuk, and I'm sorry I missed that. Shared about that very thing, brothers, how important it is for us as men, messed up men, like we just heard about, to just stay with Jesus, just to hang out with him. Isn't it gross how we get distracted, brothers? Isn't it gross how we can get our eyes off the Lord and get thinking about stupid things? And we'll run and run, and then that thing was freaking me out. It was too close. And then you find yourself just in the middle of nowhere wondering, you know, Lord, how did I get so far from you? What happened? Why have I not prayed in days? Why is my Bible dusty? Abiding in Christ, brothers, is the thing that, just hear the Lord say that to your heart today. How important it is to just be disciplined, right? That's what a disciple is. To be a man who doesn't care about his emotions, he doesn't care about his circumstance. We're committed to this book. We're committed to our Savior. We're going to live for him. I don't care what happens. We're going to live for Christ. We're going to purpose in our heart. And I'm not talking about living a law. I'm just talking about being men. You got to get up every single morning and go to work. You don't have a choice in the matter. You got a family to feed. Why in the world, when we become Christians, do things come every different? Why do we look at it as an option? We're following Christ. We're disciples of Christ. Turn, if you don't mind, into 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think it's important in context of abiding in Christ. It's important to first take a look at what the opposition is. What's the thing that's preventing us from following Christ? I know there's guys in the room that don't have a relationship with Jesus. I know that's the case. Always is at these events. I know there's guys in this room, like Will said, you probably came here to shoot skeet, and that's great, or shoot trap. My education's growing. But understand, you're here, ultimately, I believe, because the Lord led you here. What is the problem? What's the thing that's keeping you from surrendering to Christ? There is no pleasure in this earth that is so great that should keep you from yielding to someone who died for you. That's the truth. He's got a way better plan for your life than you do. I promise you that. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us. I promise to be brief. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your gentleness with us men, Lord. Thank you for your kindness throughout the years, your faithfulness, Lord. You've taken us through some things, all of us, but here we are, Lord, still breathing, still healthy. We're grateful, Lord. Thank you for being such a dad that you have often spoken to us like boys, said things in a way that we could handle it, gentle. Thank you for your discipline, Lord, but you are so kind. But Lord, I do ask that today would be maybe an exception to that, that you'd speak to us like men, Lord. We're thick, we're slow. Sometimes we need to hear things plainly. Would you, Lord Jesus, just speak to us like men, Lord. Tell us what we need to hear today. Tell us what needs to change, Lord. In light of the world that we live in light of the late date that we live in, please, Lord, cut away the hindrances in our life, please, Lord, so that we can abide in you, not with you, but in you. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you'd speak in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says to young Timothy, and understand if you don't, this was the last letter, most likely, that Paul wrote, final thing he wrote before he faced his execution. You say some pretty serious things when you're about to die. Especially to the people that you love, when you know you're about to die. That's what this letter is all about. And he says this in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Let's talk about that. This know also, Paul said. What's he talking about, the also? First letter he wrote to young Timothy, he let him know, listen, the Spirit's speaking aggressively here, Tim, and that is that in the last days men will depart from the faith. That's some pretty serious stuff. that in the last days, which by the way we live in, there will be a trend within the church, within Christianity, of people bailing on Jesus, left and right. Just people walking away from their commitment. People who have been living for him for 30, 40 years all of a sudden walk out of church and they dive into sin worse than they ever have. That's certainly what we're seeing today. It's scary, but sure enough. But Paul says this, "This know also." We put a big emphasis on knowledge in Calvary Chapel, don't we, brothers? Knowing the word, knowing the Lord. Why is that? All things that pertain to life and godliness come through what, brothers? The knowledge of him, right? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything we need in life, everything you need to be a man, to live successfully, comes through the knowledge of him. Well, with all our knowledge, guys, know this also. Paul says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, when did the last days begin? If you've been coming to Calvary Chapel, you probably know this. It's the day of Pentecost, officially. Peter announced it to the whole city of Jerusalem. Thousands of people gathered there. And he said, today is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. Today begins the last days. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. Well, brothers, that was a long time ago. It's 2,000 years ago. Think about that. 2,000 years ago, according to this book, the last days began. Wednesday had come and gone, and we're looking at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the end of the week. Well, Paul makes this statement about 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he still speaks, in this case, yet future. Notice he says that in the last days perilous times shall come. Paul is definitely, in this context, speaking of an event, a time period, that as of when he wrote this letter was yet future. By the way, that's the times we live in. I am convinced, based on the scriptures and what I've been taught, that we are the last generation. I'm convinced of it, personally. Based on Israel, specifically, and just the entire scripture's voice on the last day's events. This is it, brothers. We are the church, I believe, that will see the rapture of the church. I believe that. We are the church that will see the fulfilling that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. How do you receive that? Do you hear that and think, oh man, there's so much more I want to do. There's so much more I want to get done. Maybe some single brothers in the room, I want to be married. I want to have a family. Well, listen, I understand that. You know, God's given you those desires to be married and have a family. But understand, we're talking about being with Jesus, guys. We're actually talking about seeing the one that we've been squinting real hard, trying to see by faith. Nothing will compare on this earth to actually being with him, right? To be free from our own stinking flesh, to be free from our sin. Let's keep things into perspective. To be with him, Paul said, is far better than anything on this earth. But understand, dangerous times will come. Man, didn't God's word nail that? Dangerous times would come right now in the days that we live in. Think about the world we live in, guys, for just a second. Some of you guys have heard recently Chuck Missler's strategic trends teachings on Calvary Philly's website. I'm just curious, how many people have heard that teaching? Well, four or five of you, you ought to. It's amazing that some of the things that he lays out. One of the things is this. Where do you, brothers, suppose the most dangerous place in America is right now? In our own country. Forget about Afghanistan. Forget about Iraq. Forget about the terrorist hubs of our world. The most dangerous place to be in our country is in mommy's womb. That's the truth. Mommy's womb. It is open season, brothers, on our little children, little Americans. Millions and millions and millions of babies have been murdered. More children have been murdered in this country than any soldier in any war. In fact, any wars combined. We are living in some dangerous times. You understand that? Think about the things that are dangerous. In this teaching, you'll discover that there's about 2,200 nukes missing from the Soviet arsenal. That's a little scary. 2,200 nukes that are unaccounted for. And all they know is this. Because the economy is so shabby there in the Soviet Union and in Russia that generals of armies were not getting paychecks. We're not talking about privates. We're talking about generals, men that have served their lives for their country. No money. No money from their government. Sorry. were tapped out. And what were these generals doing? Anything that was not tied down in their military, we're talking tanks, we're talking weapons, were being sold. Sold to scary men that hate you and me. Where are these 2,200 nukes? They're in the hands of terrorists, and there's pretty good intelligence that some of them have already been in our borders, already here in America. We're living in dangerous times, guys. There's a threat on the West Coast, redoubt, an explosion, big volcano could potentially do some serious damage. There is what scientists are calling a super volcano right in our national park over there in the Midwest. It could potentially take out thousands of lives, maybe millions. Canary Islands. Anybody familiar with the Canary Islands? Just a small section of rock is holding that island from falling into the Atlantic. If that rock lets go, scientists theorize that a 330-foot wall of water at 500 miles an hour will collide into our East Coast, take out most of the East Coast. Now who's proud about being in down East Maine, right? You better have a fast car or a big bucket. Guys, we're living in some dangerous times. Just a little tremble, guys, can cause the Canary Islands to fall into the ocean and do that kind of damage. Economically, you know, we're living off debt. We don't have to go on that. There is no economy in America. We're not only poor, we are $1.1 trillion in the hole, brothers. We're printing off money like there is money. It's dangerous. It's just a matter of time when things come falling down. I want to just stress the fact that we are living, brothers, in some dangerous times, real dangerous times. But the root of that, the source of that danger is not terrorism, it's not Al-Qaeda. The source of the danger that you and I really face is not the lack of gold. It's not even natural disaster. The source of the danger that we really need to be concerned about is you. It's me. According to the Bible, here's what it says. Here's the motive, brothers. I'm going to read verse 1 again. This know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come, and here's why. For men, hear that, brothers? That's you and me. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You hear the disgust in the way that's worded? Holy Spirit-inspired words. Men will be lovers of their own selves. That, brothers, creates a hostile environment. You understand that? I hope you do. When all you care about is you, and your family is on the back burner, and your brothers in the Lord are on the back burner, when you live your life to please you and you only, that creates an extremely hostile environment. Unstable. That's the world that we live in. This is the reason why our world in America is so dangerous. It's exactly why. Because men love themselves. And you know what? They've been indoctrinated to do so. Since they were in kindergarten, self-esteem, believe in yourself, follow your heart has been pumped into their brains, pumped into my brain. Look out for number one. That's the things that we've been hearing from the very beginning, since we were the smallest kids. And you know what? It's worked. Men love themselves. Could care less about anybody else. Me and me first. That creates a dangerous situation. Let's read these next couple of verses. All these things that is listed here in 2, 3, and 4 are really conditions of self-love or the result of self-love. Check this out. First thing, covetous, lovers of money specifically. Men that love themselves want things for themselves. A thief is somebody who loves himself so much that he doesn't care about you and he's going to take what you have to give it to himself. That's a covetous man. Creates a danger. Boasters. Dangerous, guys. To be a man who goes around just bragging and promoting self. Probably when I say that, everybody has a name that pops in your head, don't you? Certain people in our lives are just known for self-promotion. They cannot stand doing something and not going, you know, going unnoticed for it. You know, they need almost the credit for doing things. Self-promotion. Guys, that is absolutely self-love. Because you love yourself, you want people to know all that you do. And you're always boasting and you're always bragging. Man, doesn't that describe me? I'm a coward, truthfully. We brothers can be such cowards sometimes. Fear the opinions of man. instead of fearing God and doing what we do to please him. We're so concerned about how we are valued and viewed by other men. It's a problem, brothers. It's not a good thing. Yeah, it's evidence of self-love, which is a dangerous deal. Proud, blasphemers. Certainly you understand that. Isn't this interesting? Disobedient to parents. Man, is that the world we live in? I am horrified by how teenagers specifically talk to their parents. Just to hear the way parents and children interact today, it's absolutely horrifying. And I hear some of this dialogue as you go through town, even in the church, and you're thinking, man, I just want 5 minutes alone with that teenager. Don't you respond like that? If my son ever talked to my wife like that, I'd beat him red. In the name of the Lord, with all the love in my heart, I would never let my son talk to my bride that way. Disobedient to parents. There is a selfish, self-exalting, in love with himself teenage culture. I pray for the youth pastors of our world today. They got their hands, they got their work cut out for them. But there is a self-centered at the root of that. Unthankful, discontent. Nintendo, I want my Wii. I want my, Unthankful, it's disgusting. Be grateful for what God has given us. Isn't that important, guys? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Rice, beans, occasional deer steak, praise the Lord. I don't even care if my car runs. Just thank you, Lord. My car never runs. I have that curse. Anyway, unthankful. It's a sign of self-centeredness. Unholy. We could spend a lot of time talking about that word, brothers. Unholy. What's holy mean? To be set apart. What's unholy? A crowd follower. Just the opposite of being set apart. Somebody who is a spineless little jellyfish who just lets the crowd tell him what to do. Caves under peer pressure. That ultimately is an unholy individual. These words, hear them. Without natural affection. What is natural affection? Even Jesus talked about this. I understand the natural man is alienated from God. I understand what the Bible says about that. The natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. You've got to be born again. You've got to be transformed. If you're in this room and you try to read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you, consider the possibility that you need a relationship with the author. I couldn't write you a letter and you receive it in the mail, right? If I don't know you, that letter doesn't make any sense. So just start there. But what is this all about? Without natural affection. Jesus said this. How many of you dads in a room, if your children approached you and said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I mean, I'm a hungry dad. Can I please have an egg? Sure, kid. Have a scorpion. You know, what kind of sick dad would do that, right? Or, Dad, listen, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? Nah. How about a snake? You know, Jesus is making this humorous illustration. But then he says something. Guys, if you, being evil, talking about the natural man, sinful by nature, if you being evil know how to give good things to your kids, how much more your Father in heaven wants to give us good things, specifically the Holy Spirit, if we were to ask. But the point I'm trying to make, guys, is even Jesus is acknowledging among the natural man that there is love and concern for their own children. There's natural affection. You understand? There's paternal instincts. What kind of sick man would drive across a bridge in Australia and take his 4-year-old little girl and pitch her off a 190-foot bridge? What kind of sick individual would do that? I'll tell you who. A man who absolutely is infatuated with himself. He loves himself. Do you understand that? And because that little girl was in the middle of a custody battle that this man thought he was losing, his mindset was, if I can't have this little girl, no one will. And I'm saying things, guys, plainly because this is how I see him. We are living in a dangerous world. Why? Because men love themselves. They care more about their own selves than their little daughter. You don't know how many hours I've prayed that God would give me a little girl. I've wanted to raise a daughter since I've been a dad. Want a chance, man, to hear about that right there, a man that would just pitch his daughter off a bridge. I'll be honest with you. I have things in my mind that I think about I want to do to an individual like that. Like this. Put him in a room with a stiff copper brush and just take his skin down to raw nerve endings. I think that would be an appropriate response personally to a man that would throw his daughter off a bridge. Does that sound hateful? Well, pray for me. But this is a problem, guys. Without natural affection, we're living in a world where mothers are leaving their families. It didn't used to be that way. You know, even 10, 20 years ago, when we were teenagers, when we were kids, it was always the dad, or almost always the dad, would be the one that would go off and chase some younger model and abandon his family. Now, we're living in a world where mom's doing that. Isn't that crazy? Commonly, very commonly, the wife and the mom is the one that will walk away from her kids. Unbelievable. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Man, there used to be a day when a handshake meant something. Remember those days? We could shake a hand and say, you know, listen, I'll be there at 8 o'clock. Or I'll pay you. there used to be a time when that meant something. Divorce in general is truce breaking. Why do people bail on their commitments, guys? Why do people show up late perpetually? Because they care way more about themselves and their own comfort and ease than they do the commitment that they made to the individual. That's just the truth, right? You can wait. I haven't had my coffee yet, my slippers. You know, whatever the case may be. Bailing on their marriages. Man, it used to be the divorce rate was larger outside of the church. You know, the divorce rate is not only as bad as the world, it's worse. There are more divorces within the body of Christ than there are out there. Isn't that nuts? Unbelievable. Men love themselves. False accusers. Liars. Men that follow Satan's very lead. Accuser of the brethren. Men are taking up his cause and accusing individuals. Trying to murder people's reputations. Incontinent, which is just a word, it means without any self-control. Yeah. Brothers, you guys minister to guys like that? Do you minister to individuals like that? That they absolutely lack an ounce of self-control. Can't stop talking. Cannot help themselves as far as giving in to vices. Absolute lack of self-control. Fierce. Beast-like. Savage. That's a description of humans in the world that we live in, brothers. Look at this, despisers of those that are good. You got to know this if you don't. If you're planning on taking a stand for Christ, you will become the enemy in the world that we live in because it's a dangerous world. If you're going to stand for righteousness, if you're going to stand for marriage, if you're going to take a stand for what you know to be right, you will be despised because nobody does that anymore. Who takes a stand and goes against the crowd at work and says, you know what, stop talking about that, guys. I'm married. I don't want to hear that lady talked about that way. Who does that, right? If you take a stand for Christ and if you stand on the word of God, you will be hated. Jesus said that, guys. In fact, Jesus said, marvel not. Don't be shocked. Why are you acting surprised? They hated me, Jesus said, for everything I stand for. So understand, despisers of those that are good. I love me so much, your stance for Christ challenges me, therefore you become the enemy. Boy, I've seen that. Remember, brothers, when Mary comes into that room there in Bethany with the alabaster box, she broke it and she worshiped the Lord Jesus with it. Remember that account there in Mark 14? There was one individual specifically who loved himself. The poor Judas is what he was thinking. Because he loved himself, he was angry. In fact, the Bible says indignant at this action, this gesture. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, as we worship the Lord, you will be despised for doing so. Consider that. Continuing on, traitors. Heady. Everybody wants to argue. You know, those individuals that if there is an opposite stance to take, they're going to take it, whether they believe it or not. Heady. You know the type. High-minded. Absolutely convinced that they are the best thing since sliced gravy. What? Lovers of pleasure, and I pray you guys listen to this. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Is that a description of your heart, brother? As I have to ask myself the same thing. In light of all that God has done for me, do I love pleasure more than him? Would I rather have the things that this earth has to offer? That is called idolatry, truthfully. You only have two options. And if this is new to you, if this is the first time you've been in church, let me just make it real simple. You have two options. Number one, you were made to worship. You can't get around that. You were absolutely created and designed by God to be a worshiper. That's why you give yourself to things. That's why when you're driving your truck down the road, you are just, your mind's on automatic. You're thinking about the things that you want to do, the things that will apparently bring you fulfillment. That's why, because you're made that way by God. You are a worshiper, and there's one of two things you can worship. A, creation, right? Something in this world you're going to worship, you're going to give yourself to. Is it a lady? Is it a substance? Is it a snowmobile? Whatever. You will worship something within creation, or you can be smart, do what's right, worship the one who made it all. Worship the creator. That's your only option, bottom line. Consider that. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, the person that we just described was the heathen that you work with, right? The person that was just described by God's word that would be rampant in the last days, probably that smelly cousin of yours. It's always there at the family gatherings, right? We all have them. Some of us four or five. Some of them with six or seven fingers on each hand. You know the type. My point is, guys, you can read that list and start thinking, yeah, that guy, this guy, those worldly individuals. Well, interestingly enough, we come to verse 5, and it says this, having a form of godliness. We're talking about religious folk, brothers and sisters. Oh, no, I can't only say that on Sunday morning. No sisters here, or there better not be. We're talking about religious folk. We're talking about people that are walking a walk, pretending that they're followers of God. They have a form of godliness. You can look at their life, and they look like maybe the type of guy that you sit next to on Sunday morning. But denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Don't pretend to have fellowship with those individuals, is what the Word of God is saying. What does that mean, denying the power thereof? You know the word power in the Greek is dunamis. Dynamite, we get our word dynamite, explosive power, same word. And certainly I've taught, and I still believe, that this applies specifically to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's scary how many people are in church and they disregard the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the necessity to be filled as a Christian. That's scary to me. But guys, even above and beyond that, what did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation, right? Here we have religious folk that deny the gospel. They reject the truth. They despise the gospel, truthfully, but yet outwardly, they seem to be like good people. They seem to be religious. What is the gospel specifically that they are rejecting? What did Jesus say, brothers and sisters? If any man be my disciple, he must first love himself, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? I think it's something like that. Help me out. I get confused. Deny yourself, right? That's why Jesus said, here's your starting point. You want to follow me? You want to embrace the gospel? You want to be saved? Here's step one. Step one's nice, right? We get confused, don't we, sometimes, guys? You guys buy things and look at that great big list of instructions. Christmas morning, to me, is one of the worst mornings of the year. It is. Someone in my family, I buy my kids simple gifts. Hatchet, socks, knife, matches, you know, jeans. I like gifts like that. Here, kid. Daddy loves you. But some sick people in my family buy these fortresses or these strange things that you got to spend 7 days in a weekend putting it together. And you got these Japanese instructions. I love God's word. Here's a step, right? Here's one step. Forget about you. Take that from Jesus. Forget about you. Deny yourself. Life ain't about you. Life is not about us, guys. Those of us who orbit around me, right? That's how we can think sometimes. Life is not about you, Jesus said. In fact, if you live your life to please yourself, you're going to die, Jesus said. You're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. The cruelest master you can serve is you. Isn't that the truth? Because you're never happy. More, more, more is our anthem. Deny self. Take up the cross, Jesus said. It is to the death. Take up the cross. Daily die into self. And follow Jesus. That's pretty simple. 1, 2, 3. I don't matter. It's to the death. Where are you, Jesus? So I can get behind you and do like you do. That's simple. But understand, there is a world that we live in, guys, where there's no self-denial. It is love of self. It is me first, then you. That's why we live in dangerous times. Cool thing is, God has a solution. Continuing on, just a few more verses, I promise. For of this sort, same individual, are they which creep. See, they're creeps. They which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Guys, understand, bottom line, verse 6 is suggesting individuals who love themselves seek to be predators. They prey upon the vulnerability of others. Bottom line, silly women, young women, it can be translated, little women. The idea is they're easily manipulated, foolish, without discernment. That's what we're dealing with here. And there is a predator mentality with the man who loves himself. I don't know what you guys watch for entertainment. I know for me, I got this little laptop computer. I sit with my little boy, and we watch lions shredding other animals. We call it entertainment. I hate television, personally. That's my personal thing. But man, to watch a lion, you know, stalk and track and kill a bull elephant, that to me is, that's good quality kid time. You know, and Dylan and I sit there, and guys, it's amazing, though, truthfully, how a lion hunts. Only in a desperate situation when they're really hungry are they going to take down a bull elephant. But normally, as a lion observes a herd, it's going to go after the sickest, weakest, most pathetic animal there. 600-pound cat, and it wants to go at something it just has to breathe over. It's amazing. But see, a predator thinks that way. It's lazy because he loves himself. Predators love themselves. They don't want to exert energy, so they want to prey upon the vulnerable. Watch your kids, guys, in these dangerous times. Keep a close eye, man, on your children because there's predators out there, truthfully. Your little daughters, man, keep your eyes wide open, brothers, for the wolves that will come into your home and act like, praise the Lord, Dad. Yeah, I go to church. Mind if I have some time with your daughter? Keep your eyes wide open because that's who the predators are targeting. They love themselves. They're dangerous. Remember that. Every young man that walks in your home interested in your daughter is a danger to this world because he loves himself. Assuming he is not a Christian man. Well, one more thing. A man, a woman for that matter, that is in love with himself is described here in verse 7 as ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pastors in the room, you know these people. They've sat through Bible study after Bible study. They come to church, and you don't know the hours that they've sat and heard the Word of God expounded. They have their own devotional life. You know because you've checked. They actually have taken their own time and read the Bible, but yet they still do not get it. There's something there. What is it? It's self. Self is the thing, according to the Scriptures, that's keeping that individual from coming to the revelation of who Jesus is and what he wants for their life. Self's got to go first. Self's got to die. Self will keep us, brothers, from abiding in Christ. That's the enemy that I wanted to present to us today. Now, two more verses. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, who in the world are Jannes and Jambres? Well, you got to look outside the Bible in some cases to find out who these proper nouns are. Apparently, according to some Jewish writings, and there's some clues in the Scriptures, certainly, that these two men were two of the magicians there in Egypt. And you guys remember, Moses started laying out things to Pharaoh. You won't let my people go? Have some frogs. Pharaoh goes, no big deal. My boys can duplicate that. And they did. They would withstand the truth by imitating the works of God, imitating the actions of the prophet. That is exactly what we see today. You see men imitating God. You see pastors imitating the role of a pastor, but truthfully, they're in it for one reason only, and that's personal gain. They're dangerous men, guys. Be careful who you support. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who your family listens to on the television. There's dangerous men involved in these things. Imitators, fakers, they oppose Christ. But like we sang, last verse, they shall proceed no further. Praise the Lord, right? The Lord Jesus will intervene, I believe, soon, and bring an end to this. I'm looking forward to that. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. That's as far as we're going to get in our study. Brothers, I just want to throw this out here to you. If you are here today and you have never denied yourself, understand you can be a fulfillment of that prophecy or you can stand in opposition to that prophecy. I know for me personally, I want to be in the camp that says, not me. I'm not going to love myself. I'm going to be a follower of Christ, and I want to ensure the safety of my family. I want to ensure the safety of my flock. Pastors, we need to be doing ministry in such a way where we aren't promoting self all the time. We're not, you know, trying to win disciples unto us, but we're trying to promote Christ. Then you're going to see fruit, right? As we are. So important that we are men that are dead to self. So hear that as a challenge this morning, brothers. Let's go home to our wives and our children and our jobs and be men who care more about others, others-centered. That's going to make more of an impact for Christ on this world than any other thing, I believe. Well, let's stand and pray. Father, thank you so much for a chance to be in your word. And I know there's more you got to say, Lord. There's more, so much more today you want to say to our hearts through fellowship, through song, through other chances to read your word and hear it. We're open, Lord, for what you have for us today. We're absolutely open. Make us the men that you want us to be, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated for one more second. A couple things. Man, thanks, Aaron. That was nearly tragic. Yeah. Did you guys hear all that noise out there, the entryway? Good. Okay, that was me out there busting stuff up. I apologize for disrupting the service. Leave it to a pastor to leave his cell phone on, right? Denying the self. That's... Wow. I think we're all predators without Christ. We have one thing in mind, and that's me. The unholy trio of me, myself, and I. As the Lord changes us, he does some amazing things. It's really a blessing. Now, I want you to turn 1 Corinthians. Just going to look real quickly. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 28. The base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You guys, the world glories in itself. That's what our brother has been saying to us all morning. The world's all about self, right? What we want. We want to be the farthest thing from that. Now, I'm going to try to be really brief because Aaron said it the way we need to hear it. The world says that it has wisdom. It does not have any wisdom. And we are constantly under the pressure, because the world has an arrogance. And if you reject the world and choose Christ, then now you're an outsider. So you constantly are rejected by the world. In being rejected by the world, there's a thing within our heart that says, I want to be accepted. Why? Because I'm into myself. I'm into me. And I want people to like me. So I'm constantly trying to move to a place where people will accept me. Well, if I've chosen Christ, then now I'm being rejected by the world. So you might as well just embrace that. Embrace the fact that people are going to hate you, despise you, like our brother said. The wisdom of the world. Now, there are two things. You boil the whole of it down. Creation or the Creator. That's what our brother said. You're worshiping the creation or the Creator. In worshiping the creation or the Creator, the world says either, number one, God created us, or two, you happened by just amazing accidents. Things just happen. Okay, now let me explain something to you really quick. We're going to look at the single-celled bacteria briefly. That bacteria has on the back of it what is called a flagellum, little tiny hair, microscopic. You can't even see this thing. The hair spins to propel the bacteria through water. Science says that was an accident, happened on its own. How about this? That hair that spins, the flagellum, is a 40-part motor. It has 40 individual parts in it. It's gear-driven. It's a gear-drive motor. Electrically charged, water-cooled, gear-driven, 40-part motor in a single-celled bacteria. Now, how that was designed was by DNA. Inside that single-celled bacteria, there is a strand of DNA. And how that single-cell bacteria reproduces itself is quite amazing. This cell comes to the DNA and unwinds it, takes one side of the DNA and copies it like a photocopy, and makes what's called RNA from the DNA. It takes the RNA strand to a port in the side of the single-celled bacteria. The port reads the RNA. If the RNA has been copied properly, the port will open and allow the RNA to be transported outside that single-celled bacteria, where that RNA blueprint will be copied, and those are the instructions for building one part of that 40-part motor. That's a single-celled bacteria, you guys. Now, here's the thing. Science wanted to say, stuff just happened, fell together, came along, just put it in a bucket, mix it for 60 billion years, and wacko, you got us. Double entendre. That is not an accident, you guys. Science wants to explain all kinds of things about accidents and stuff coming together, and you got this piece turning into that piece, and that changes to this. The one thing they cannot explain, they use all kinds of fantasy and imagination to explain stuff. The one thing they cannot explain is, where did DNA come from? It's a written language, you guys. The thing inside every single cell in my body that causes my cell to reproduce, and yours, and every bacteria, and every single thing on this planet to reproduce, is a written language. It's amazing. We reject the world and say, God created it. And the world goes, you are a mindless person who embraces fantasy and imagination. We're higher thinkers, and we know that the monkeys just decided to be people one day. This is what it comes down to. You either embrace the fact that there's a creator, or you are already embracing creation. You're already worshiping creation. I love the monkey that became the man, that became the whatever. You're either rejecting God and embracing creation, or you're rejecting the world and embracing God. Embrace God, you guys. The world's going to reject you. Brace yourself for that. And in rejecting the world and being rejected by it, you'll find yourself abiding in Christ. Don't be afraid when they mock you. You think about how stinking Dr. Seuss their theory is. You know, the lizard just got tired of wandering around, watching all these other birds, just decided that he was going to fly too. So he just kept climbing up the tree and jumping out until eventually, man, that is stupid. Can't even believe it. Science, man's wisdom. It's foolishness. It is absolutely foolish. We read right there in Corinthians where it says that they reject the creator, worship the creation, and profess themselves to be wise. They call themselves wise. That's what the scripture said thousands of years ago. Paul said they will call themselves wise. Do you know what we call ourselves now? Homo sapien. How many of you guys in biology class remember that? Or were you too stoned like me, okay? Do you remember the term Homo sapien? Do you know what that, it's Latin. Do you know what that means? Human wisdom. We call ourselves human wisdom, you guys. Having rejected the Creator, embracing the creation, they profess themselves to be wise. Human wisdom. They say that's what separates us from the monkeys. We're wiser than them. You can look at us and we have all the same digits and we do similar stuff and we pick our nose in the same way, but we have wisdom. Human wisdom. And you know what they did just 5 years ago? Science, in studying itself, decided that, no, we're actually higher than human wisdom. So now we call ourselves Homo sapien sapien. Look in the textbooks. You know what it means? Human wisdom, wisdom. So nice, they said it twice. Is this stupid or what? We're really smart. We're wise, wise. I mean it. It's lame, you guys. The God who created this world is coming back. And he said he's coming to get his own. Ready yourself for that. That's what today is about. Not gunpowder and pellets. It's about our Creator. Amen? Stand and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I do pray that you would bless our time in fellowship. Bless the food, simple as it is. Keep us safe as we play with guns. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.